Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This is Ken and Curtis with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
With our own home opener at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio on Lansdowne Street, presented by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series, America's best-selling truck for 48 years and the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Curtis, good morning.
Oh, what a day. Perfect weather. James, first opening day. Sox go back-to-back. The place goes nuts. And you know those moments? Stories at the dish, two men on. In my head, I go, you know what? I bet you he's going yard. Didn't say a word, and of course he does, so I don't get any credit, but I just got it there. And then first pitch, Abreu, next bat. Oh, awesome. Perfect day. The crowd was great. Even some supported Raffy chants before he was at the, you know.
Very supportive throughout the day.
It was a, it was a great, great day at Fenway Park. The crowd was going nuts. The Greg Hill Show has never been bigger. And good day had by all.
I mean, I'm not sure there's anything to bitch about at all. Is there one thing? I mean, they almost blew the lead in the night, I guess.
You had to bring it close. Yeah, but then you get to see Chapman.
Yeah.
Also,
I call him Chappy.
I don't want to complain at all, but if you're going to get a slice of pizza, you should probably refinance before you hit the Fenway.
Well, that's everywhere. The Garden is no cheaper. Let me assure you that.
But it is. I mean, I guess I don't go out much, and that's my own problem. But, like, two slices of pizza, a Diet Coke and a water should not be $50, whether you're here or at the Ritz-Carlton. But either way, well worth it yesterday. Great day. Perfect day. Got street parking. I had always done the home opener with my dad. It's been a pretty big break since I've been back for the opener. And I think the last one was 19 when they celebrated the 18 championship. But it's like Boston's, it's the biggest small city in the world. You run into a million people. I saw Meter. I ran into listeners were everywhere. James was a star, high-fiving randos on the street. It was a great day.
A lot of famous sons in the news. Shedeur Sanders, Bronny James, and young Curtis. I mean, really, between the big three there.
All right.
It's dominating the sports world.
It really is.
How did James like the game? Did he last longer than Greg?
I think so. I saw Johnny Egan, randomly.
Of course.
I want to say fifth inning. He still thinks you meet people. Like, he's like, oh, I was going to go to the Red Sox, and he's like, I'm going to hang out with Alex Cora, which is kind of a spoiling of him. But no, it was awesome. It was just a great day, and perfect weather, and I utilized my half-off discount with the media pass at the Red Sox store, so I didn't get gouged as badly. I felt like I was sticking it back to Sam, and it was a great day, and Ovi got to tie Gretzky. I mean, who could have anything more?
Did you put the Wally head on?
I actually just wear it now.
Yeah.
It's just sort of how he sees me. But no, it was the weather. I mean, as good as yesterday was, today's is bad, but if you're going to pick one, it was a... Just honestly, like, it was, I don't remember it ever being that nice. There's some years where it's like oddly hot.
Yeah.
But yesterday
was perfecto.
Literally the perfect temperature, the perfect sunshine, the perfect breeze, everything.
The 75 series team setting the tone seemed to offend nobody despite the runner-up.
No, it was great. And by the way, what a welcome by the mayor for the fans. Woof. But a quick Tiant story. So years and years ago, when we would go to spring training for like a month with the Dennis and Callahan show, not a great time for me. And Louis Tiant would always be in the next suite before, during, and after our show. He'd be sort of in and around. And he would just sit with me and talk baseball. Beyond a nobody. And he couldn't have been more kind, generous, like just a uniquely great person outside of all the baseball. And I thought that they did just a really amazing job with that. Yesterday was great to see Pudge back there, and it was a great day, honestly.
Yeah.
El Tiante going to be up all year, you think?
I believe so. That'd
be good.
I think they did that with Lucchino and Wake last year.
That's right. Yep.
So this will be the Tiante year. And they look good. I mean, and the only thing that can off-put that ecstasy is the agony of the Joe Milton trade. I honestly, throughout the day, I was thinking, everything is perfect except for the Milton trade. What a disastrous,
it's awful,
one of the worst in Boston sports history. It will go down as perhaps Vrabel's folly when this guy becomes a starter for the Dallas Cowboys.
Mac Jones will have a better NFL career than Joe Milton.
Well, Mac, I'm not ruling Mac out. I'm still halfway toward the island.
If Mac retired today, he would still have a better career than Joe Milton.
Where is he now? San Francisco?
I don't know. But, I mean, do you think Joe Milton's going to take a team to the playoffs?
He could. He definitely could. Yeah. I don't know that he's going to be a starter in the league, but I know he will be a long-time NFL backup quarterback at a minimum, at a floor. Because he's interesting enough that you could bring him in as a backup and he'll be something to watch and possibly good.
But this was so great. A, it's good for us, our business, all of that. But it's also good if you believe that Elliot Wolf is a dullard and that Mike Vrabel should be running the operation, because this is clearly a Vrabel move. And the other thing, and I said this on the Greg Hill show, and I think...
Except I have an addendum to that, but go ahead.
The Elliot Wolf presence is just so annoying to me. Like... So he doesn't have power. And he talks to the media like he's running the place. I don't get it.
As somebody in middle management, I support it. I think there's a role for those people.
He actually has his ceiling as Ken Laird in Odyssey. But I just am, you know, whatever. I guess it's fine. He's relatively harmless if he doesn't make the decisions. But the only way the trade of Joe Milton is a bad move or is a bad omen is if Drake May and those rumors are accurate, that he was mad about his presence, that he couldn't establish himself because...
Well, it's not a rumor, it's a report, at least that his family, was upset about it. But it depends if you believe Volan's report.
Right. I mean, you can get burned easily that way. Mm-hmm. But either way, that is not a good sign.
Okay.
If you're a Drake May fan.
We agree there, because that does bother me. Now, Brady was bothered by Garoppolo, and this is not Brady, and this is not Garoppolo.
And it was so different. I mean, honestly, like we could all, I'm sure Brady would have been sensitive to this stuff because everybody's sensitive, but entering the 2014 season, the Patriots lost in the AFC Championship in 2013 at the Broncos, and their weaponry was awful, just awful. And they were stifled again at Mile High. And entering that next season, there were clear needs on offense, and yet they used a second-round pick on someone who would never see the field with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the impetus for the rage. Not only that, but that it showed that the coach didn't believe the quarterback, that the quarterback was saying he could play into his 40s.
So why did Mayo, or Elliot Wolf, or whoever you believe, drafted
Mayo.
Milton? Why did they draft Milton? Same reasoning, generally?
Well, if you want to go to the Elliot Wolf, Ron Wolf school, didn't his dad like always think you have to draft a quarterback,
right?
Always have extra guys around?
Right.
So maybe it's that.
Well, not have them around. You groom them, you develop them, and then you ship them off in a couple years for an upgrade and a pick.
The Packers did that with Hasselbeck and other guys over the years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess, but the reality, also, as a sixth-round flyer, everybody's been wowed at some point by the measurables of Joe Milton, and he's got far more athleticism and upside of any other guy that I'm sure was around where they were picking that in that draft. What concerns me is Drake May has been given the keys to the car. He was
back with Bill yesterday. standing side by side with Belichick.
I know, and Ninko was down there.
Was he really?
Yeah. Well, he's never been with Bill.
Well, who?
Drake May.
But I mean, he was there was a picture of the two standing side by side.
Well,
he
said back
practice.
With Bill. He's never been with Bill before.
Yeah, I guess. Was he there at the Belichick opening presser at Carolina? Maybe
who
not.
Knows. But either way, the if you're nervous or you feel that you are stifled in your ability to lead because of the presence of Joe Milton, then it feels like you're looking for reasons why you can't do something instead of just doing it. And that is not something that suits what I believe needs to be of the elite starting quarterback in the NFL.
So what do you mean by that? You mean
like, so Vrabel? If he's sitting there, no, if Drake May said we need to get rid of Joe Milton because he's infringing
yes.
on my turf,
right.
That is a horrible sign.
It's not a good sign. We see it a lot in our business, actually. Not to get into specific examples, but people do get defensive or protective of their jobs. I mean, it happens in all walks of life, I'm sure. Probably in your office, you have it. You know, there's somebody that's like vying for your job. Is it a good thing? Is it a distraction? Right. It's just...
That's why Joe Biden took Kamala and why Scheim hired Jackson.
I think Jackson's doing a great job. He killed it at the Cask up the street here yesterday. What a great performance yesterday. Even Greg had to give him applause. So,
because you picked out the guy for him to interview? I mean.
But let me get to the Jordan Schultz report. So
right.
This goes back to Elliot Wolf's role in it. And whether you believe this or not, some people have doubted this. Do you trust Schultz? You a Schultz guy?
I mean, I'm Schultz over Rap Sheet in that battle.
Okay. So after the Joe Milton trade, he had tweeted.
And I do drink Starbucks, like his dad is the CEO of that company. So
my understanding is since Joe Milton became available at the start of the offseason, teams that showed interest included the Raiders, the Eagles, the Giants, Steelers, and Cowboys. The Patriots had a better offer for Milton, but chose to send him where he wanted out of respect for him, per source. Now, Vrabel would never do that. I don't believe that. That's in Vrabel's DNA to send him, be a nice guy, send him somewhere pleasant.
Yeah, the only people that tell you that are people that are looking to excuse something because they really don't give a damn.
But back to your point, Elliot Wolf, I could see doing that. Going to Robert Kraft and saying, look, I don't want to trade him this early, but if you're going to do it, can we at least do right by the guy? And send him to his preferred destination, and Robert getting involved and saying, Mike, you can trade him, but you got to send him to Dallas.
So,
and that is a problem in itself.
But wouldn't that be repeating the Belichick-Garoppolo, if we're going to continue
basically,
that analogy?
Yes.
Because we all believe
it's a code red of sorts.
The Cleveland Browns reportedly offered a first-round pick for Jimmy G, and they sent him to the 49ers for a second-rounder because Mike Shanahan was supportive of Bill during the Spygate fiasco, so he helped out his son. I mean, that's the reporting on that one.
Right.
So
it's reverse. In that case, Bill had a role in where he was sent and for less at the cutting off the nose despite the face trade. In this case, Vrabel wanted him out at any cost and probably the best return. Elliot Wolf probably got involved and said, no, I want to be nice to the guy and send him somewhere he wants to go.
When we start talking to Vrabel in August, my first question is going to be, why is Elliot Wolf here? What the hell is he doing? Why would you waste time with this guy who has no discernible skill?
I wouldn't ask it directly like that.
But the reality is that we shouldn't be... So Robert Kraft got rid of Bill Belichick for many reasons, but he said the biggest one was that he had too much power.
Mm-hmm.
So then they tried the non-siloed approach of basically telling everybody their game plan on Thursday and Gerard Mayo being nice. That failed. And so now you bring in Mike Vrabel, who ostensibly, according to the people that know, is running the operation.
It's a no BS, my show, my way or the highway. Milton hits the highway.
But then it's like you're keeping this other guy,
right.
And you're giving him odd power.
Very awkward. How long do you give this relationship? Does Wolf last more than a year?
I mean... I'm just concerned that it's going on between now. Maybe they get rid of him after the draft because he's done all the legwork on the prospects, and maybe that's why. But if I were running the Patriots, he'd be gone. He would have been gone when I fired Mayo. Would have been a clean, you know, let's bring on. See you later, guys. Good luck in all that you do. We're going to bring in Vrabel, and he's going to be running the whole operation.
Anyway, I have multiple concerns about the Milton trade. If you agree or disagree, 617-779-7937. And generally, I would just like some reaction to the Sox home opener. If you were at the game yesterday, if you saw Curtis, if you didn't see Curtis, if you enjoyed the atmosphere, just a little, can we just bask in the opener a little bit this morning, Curtis?
It was great. I mean, 4-4, 1-3 straight. They got, I don't know if they're going to get today, and have you heard anything from Sam?
Well, I was coming to you for the official meteorological report.
It's going to be raining, not a lot of rain, between like 0.3 and a half inch of rain. in the next, whatever, 5 hours. But it's not going to be like a downpour or a deluge.
The only response I get from Sox management on rain delays, you would think I have like great insight, you know, being the position I'm in, as to whether they're going to cancel the game or not. I only get the standard response, which is, it's up to baseball. So I never get any info. Maybe I'll get like a five-minute warning and before they put out the official release. It is frustrating. But they, apparently it's baseball's call in all these cases, whether they bang the game or not.
Well, of course it's not your call. Right. Like, so you're just asking the people that would be in baseball.
I need somebody in baseball is what I need.
All right.
I need a baseball source.
All right, I got Joe West's number. Let's give him a call.
In the meantime, can we bask with Nick on the Cape, who was at the Sox home opener yesterday
on
the phone lines. You're Ken and Curtis to kick us off. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Listen, I took my son to the home opener yesterday, and, you know, Story hits the three-run bomb, and we're going nuts. And then Abreu hits the home run, and my son's like, Dad, look at what they're doing in the dugout with the Wally mask. I said, that's great. But I quickly turned the angst because I'm like, what is Ken Laird going to do all year long? The lifeguard. They're passing this mask from player to player.
They need to sterilize that puppy on a daily basis.
Right.
Ken, the anxiety was going through your mind. I know it was.
If you were Abreu, Nick, would you have put the Wally hat on right after the first jack? I would not have.
I would just be happy that Napoli's not on the team anymore because God knows what's in that guy.
I just don't want the anxiety level to get to you all year, Ken, because we're going to be seeing a lot of home runs out of this team, I think.
I agree. Awesome. Good point.
Glad you got to go to the game with your son, Nick.
Thanks
like
for the call.
Day.
There's a downside. Good point by Nick.
Yeah, it was.
I'll tell you, yesterday, a lot of socializing for me. A lot of handshakes. I was at the Greg Hill 15th gala last night.
Oh, yeah?
Night.
How was
late
that?
Into the night was awesome. At View Boston, which is a tremendous view, obviously. And
how many times did Wiggy mention Quazo?
I only saw Wiggy briefly. He was being mobbed. He and Talina were rock stars, as were Courtney and Santo. You know, it was a 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. for me social fest.
That is a long
yesterday,
day.
Yesterday. So yeah. I'm going to stay away from people all weekend. But in the meantime, I'd like to hear from you. Give us a call. Ken and Curtis Show, Milton Trade, your beefs, Sox, are they destined for a World Series? The Dodgers did lose a game yesterday, Curtis, so they're not invincible. And we do want to talk about Ovechkin a little bit. He tied Gretzky yesterday. I think there's an interesting twist to what's going on there. I know you've been attacking Kevin Paul DuPont on social media today, so you want to get to that, apparently. But in the meantime, here are the headlines with Zach Cook.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox extended their winning streak to 3 with a 13-9 win over the St. Louis Cardinals in yesterday's Fenway opener. Sox were propelled by back-to-back home runs from Trevor Story and Willy Abreu in the first inning. Alex Bregman went 2-for-4 in his Fenway debut, and here's what he had to say about that Fenway crowd after the game.
Obviously, the energy was in the ballpark. It was a lot of fun to be out there playing, and especially after a long road trip, not being here for a while, and then coming back and feeling that energy, it brought all of us into the game really nicely, and looking forward to continuing it.
Game 2 of that series goes down today with Richard Fitz taking the mound opposite Andre Pallante for St. Louis. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil will get you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:10. Then Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks will have the call of the game, first pitch at 4:10. Celtics beat the Phoenix Suns 123-103, the final from the Garden last night. Jaylen Brown led the way with 31 points for the Seas. They'll host the Washington Wizards tomorrow night, tip-off set for 6. Bruins back in action tonight, looking to snap a 10-game losing streak. They host the Carolina Hurricanes. A loss tonight and the Bees would tie the 1924-25 team for the longest losing streak in franchise history. Puck drop over at the Garden at 7. Another NHL news, Washington Capitals winger Alex Ovechkin tied Wayne Gretzky's all-time goals record. He had his 893rd and 894th career goals last night. He'll have a chance to break Gretzky's record tomorrow when the Capitals travel to Long Island to take on the Islanders. Finally, for just the second time ever, the Final Four consists of all number one seeds. Those games get underway tonight in the Alamo Dome. First, Florida takes on top overall seed Auburn at 6:09. Then Duke will face Houston at 8:49. You can hear coverage of those games after coverage of the Red Sox right here on WEEI. Winners fighting for a chance to play in the national championship on Monday night. Trending Now brought to you by Mass Mutual. Don't forget to tune into the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show this afternoon at 3:10. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
I ain't played football since, what you want to say, preseason? You know what I mean? If y'all was in my shoes and y'all was given an opportunity to go play, why would you go out there and not show up and show out? Like, why would I go out there so y'all can talk about me if I lose? Y'all want me to go out there and lose, and then y'all be like, oh, I'm glad he lost so he can get traded. And then what? Be like, make that make sense.
Well, the Joe Milton trade doesn't make sense, I'll tell you that. Joe Milton gone. That was him talking on a podcast about the criticism he got for winning the meaningless final game of the regular season, Curtis, which cost the Patriots a first overall pick. Instead, they're picking fourth coming up later this month. There's no getting around. The Milton thing's a disaster, right? Why did you take him? Why did you trade him too soon? Why did you trade him for nothing?
I mean, a disaster would be that you drafted him in the fourth round and you released him. You drafted him in the sixth round and you got a fifth rounder back for him. So I wouldn't say that's a disaster.
He cost you the first overall pick. He's now created some kind of a drama with Drake May that forced you to trade him.
I mean, I don't think he cost you it. I think the Bills intentionally tried to lose the game, and the Patriots didn't do a good enough job of losing it themselves.
Right.
But like,
he tried to win.
I honestly don't understand the anguish about it. If you had the first pick in the draft, this is the worst year to have the first pick in the draft.
Picking fourth might cost them Hunter or Carter. So that's big.
This is not as, like, if in my view, no big deal. Really, I don't look back on that and have this massive amount of regret. It was not the end of the world for me, and the trade is just, the rest of the NFL is telling you that you got your pants all messy because you overrated this guy. He was asked, any fan at Michigan, any fan at Tennessee, ask anybody drafting in the first five rounds of the draft last year, the most important job in all of sports is quarterback in the NFL, and nobody thought he was worthy of anything prior to the late in the sixth round.
Okay, how did he look in week 17?
Against a team that was trying to lose, just great.
But he looked great.
I mean, yeah. What was his stat line in that game? And we're talking about
He had a play where he ran across the field, did a spin move. And
oh, my God. Did he hit the turbo button?
Well, he has some ability. I don't care who was out there.
Okay, then why did nobody want him?
I think if you waited to the draft, you might have had three or four other teams that wanted him. And Jordan Schultz is reporting there were six teams that wanted him.
Okay.
And they had to hand pick where he was going because obviously the May family was upset or Elliot Wolf was too sensitive to actually get the best return for him.
He was inactive in all but two games.
Well, right. That doesn't mean because you had Drake May and who else did they have last year?
Why didn't they start the year with Milton instead of with Brissett?
Oh, they had Brissett, that's right. They paid him too much money. What a disaster last year was.
He wasn't better than Jacoby Brissett.
I think he was.
Okay.
Did you see Jacoby Brissett? He's certainly more dynamic. I don't know if he was better in terms of NFL. He has a long way to go, no doubt about that. Would you at least admit this? If he becomes the Cowboys starter at some point in the next couple years, it makes this trade look awful. Just awful.
There was a period where the Jimmy G trade looked really dumb. When he was in the
right.
Super Bowl and they had a lead against the Chiefs in 2019, we all said, how could you be this stupid?
Right.
In hindsight, no big deal. The guy's made of glass. He couldn't even make it through two games healthy with the Patriots. That's who he is. That's who he'll always be.
Okay, but if Milton becomes a starter.
The guy that you thought was better than Brady, by the way.
Well, he got mismanaged. He might be.
Right, because he's going to be managed.
Will you criticize Vrabel if Milton becomes a starter?
This year?
No, in the next couple years.
No, because he's not better than Drake May.
So we're off the hook.
Totally.
No matter what he does, he could become a Hall of Famer.
Right.
And you'll never look back and criticize.
The two worst things that ever happened to Patriots fans here was Tom Brady being taken in the sixth round and seeing that guy turn into the greatest of all time, because these texters say Brady was in the sixth round. Look at Tom Brady's college career. It was not waylaid by his inability. It was done dirty by Carr, who has since apologized because he
had mismanaged. It's always about the manager.
No, it was playing time. When he was on the field, he was excellent. He was named a captain twice. He had a 2-touchdown deficit twice to Alabama, came back and won the bowl game. Show me Joe Milton against one good team. One. Look at his stats in college against good opponents.
Yeah, Bills are a good team.
No, but look at his stats in college against good teams. He sucked. That's why he went to another school, and that's why he was in the sixth round. And because his measurables are off the charts compared to Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. And he still was there in the sixth round.
240 texter. It wasn't Drake May who said we need to get rid of Milton. It was Milton's agent stating that he wants Milton to compete for the starting job, and that repeatedly bothered Vrabel. And I'm sure McDaniels had input into Milton's departure. It's a good thing for the team. Do you agree with that, texter?
I can't imagine that bothered Mike Vrabel. Why would Vrabel be bothered by that? He was literally the face of competition with the Patriots.
Well, but the evidence is that Vrabel traded him.
The evidence is he traded him because he doesn't think he's good.
Mm. You really believe that?
Yes, 100%.
So Vrabel has watched the tape and he said, I don't like this guy. No good. He's not good.
Well, where did Vrabel coach?
Ohio State, Texas.
Before this, his last NFL head coaching
Cleveland.
Job. Where was his coaching job in the NFL?
Well, he's been everywhere.
No, where was his head coaching job in the NFL?
Who was there?
Tennessee Titans. Are you on drugs?
No, but what quarterback are you talking about?
What school did Joe Milton play at?
Oh, in Tennessee. Oh, but what year did he leave there?
Oh my God, I don't know. You Google it. They were. I'm sure that he was well aware of Joe Milton.
He left in 23. When did Milton arrive?
2021.
2021. So he saw him for 2 years. Was he a starter then? That could be a good point.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to narrow down on your point.
He doesn't think he's very good. He knows about him. He's well-versed in Joe Milton. Believe me, I don't think that this is someone who got caught off guard.
Now, your poll results showed that the fan base does not like the trade.
Do you know what all fans who think their backup is good have in common?
Go ahead.
Bad teams.
Yeah. Well, people like Jimmy G, and they had a good team.
No, people. You like Jimmy G.
There were a lot of Jimmy G fans out there.
Ed Courtney. The Patriots that I was raised on, we all thought, I mean, no offense, Zoe, nobody thought you were that good, but we all thought Michael Bishop was the next coming. Who was the topic du jour last year? Do you remember?
Last year.
Or 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
I don't remember which one it was. Last year or the year before. Malik Mania!
Oh, I did like
that. We were outraged. You were out. How can they cut him?
I never saw Malik in a regular season game look this good, though.
But it's all fool's gold. Like, I'm sorry.
I'm not promising he's going to be a Hall of Famer and a great starter. I just don't like it. I don't like multiple things about it. I don't like the Drake May angle of it, which you pointed out is potentially a problem, that he was bothered by this. I don't like that Elliott Wolf had some kind of a say in handpicking where he goes. And I just, in general, don't think they got a good return here at all. They should have just waited a year.
Okay, and I have my best source on all this. The nicest guy I know, Iggy, Ian Maripol, who's texting.
I like Iggy.
He is a South Carolina Gamecock aficionado. Went there, is obsessed. Michael Hawley used to refer to him as the commissioner of the SEC on the midday show at WEEI. Mm-hmm. Ian says, I watch more SEC football than anyone in Massachusetts. Well,
Flex.
Besides Courtney.
Flex.
And I have over the last 20 years. There has not been a more disappointing quarterback in the SEC over that span than Joe Milton.
Okay, but college success does not always translate to pro success. Example, Tom Brady. Example, Brett Favre.
He was incredibly successful in college.
Phil Simms went to Morehead State and became a good player.
Nobody watched his games. What metric was Tom Brady not successful in college?
Well, he was getting benched repeatedly. I don't know. He was crying about the way Lloyd Carr treated him. Why was he getting benched?
No, he wasn't getting
benched. Brian Greasy was beating him out. Drew Henson was beating him out.
Tom Brady beat Alabama down 14 points twice in that game in his final game with the Michigan Wolverines.
So were Michigan fans totally convinced Brady was going to be a great quarterback in the NFL when he was drafted?
No, but early on we would hear from Michigan fans calling into EEI talking about how Brady got screwed, he got a raw deal. That was part of his story coming out of college. Absolutely. Dick Rabine, God rest his soul, who was the one that told them to pick him.
But you would agree, his Michigan stats were pedestrian. He had average numbers.
Right. Well, look at numbers in college in that era. The era of throwing 40 touchdowns and three picks is new.
All I'm saying is Iggy can watch all the college football he wants. It doesn't mean that Milton's going to be necessarily good or bad at the pro level. You've got to look beyond that.
What Ian is saying and what people that have watched Joe Milton say is that there have been people that have been fooled by his abilities, by his measurables, that he is flashy. He can make a play like he did against the Bills. It has to be like, oh my God, if they can rein this guy in, he's the next coming.
Was it a good trade?
Yes.
Oh my God. I put this up there with Mookie and Babe Ruth. Maybe the three worst trades in Boston sports history.
So when he doesn't make the Cowboys, what are you going to say?
Oh, he'll make the Cowboys. Jerry will be sure of that. Let's go to, we were talking about the Red Sox opener as well. Mike in Framingham, who I think was at the game, or at least wants to talk about the home opener yesterday. Good morning, Mike.
Oh no, I didn't say that. I was agreeing with Chris about what he said. The topic yesterday about honoring teams that lose. The Celtics never honor teams that lost. Bruins never honor teams that lost. The only one that did that was the Red Sox because they went so many years without winning. And I agreed with you yesterday, but I didn't get a chance to call in.
Yeah.
You're upset they honored the 75 team yesterday?
No. I'm not upset. I don't care that they did. But Chris made a good point. Like, teams that win don't usually honor teams that lose. Like, we're not going to honor the 07 Patriots. I know Wiggy kept on saying that, and I love Wiggy, but no.
Wiggy just was saying that because it was opposite of what I said. He doesn't believe that. But the other side to this, Mike, is I was always told, and I don't care. People were happy yesterday. I'm happy they honored Louis Tiant. The guy deserved it. A legend on and off the field. But everybody said the 67 impossible dream is what rekindled the love affair with the Red Sox. Well, I didn't realize until yesterday that they didn't make the playoffs from 67 to 75. So, like, we celebrate the 67 Bruins. Impossible dream team, but what did it really rekindle?
Yeah, the Bruins that had the record for the most wins and lost the first round. Are we going to honor those guys?
Of course not. Like, in the notion that we would honor the 07 Patriots, a team that's sandwiched between a dynastic period, it is laughable on its face.
Yeah. Tougher to make the playoffs, obviously, back in those days. Thanks, Mike, for the call. But you're right. They didn't make the playoffs after 75 until 86, which is incredible. So they were second place a lot, I'm sure, in that stretch. So,
right. They'd be a wild card. But the reality is, all I was saying was that what was commonplace in the 90s was celebrating teams that you liked, even if they didn't win, because you didn't have much to celebrate. Now, you don't, you know, it was a punchline, the 16-0 banner at Gillette Stadium that they got rid of.
Yep.
And, you know,
not having lived here at that time, it's impossible for me to say whether that was worthy of it or not. It feels like it was, just because those names are so legendary. I mean, to see Carlton Fisk, as you mentioned, Pudge, standing by the pole with the bat he used and taking a picture of that. We had him on the Jimmy Fund Telethon last year. It was unbelievable. Fred Lynn and Dewey Evans were in the Sox booth yesterday. Those are legendary names across this region, and it's
of course. I'm not saying that they shouldn't, but it's not that they should or shouldn't. It's just we will no longer do that.
Right. This is it will never happen again.
Right.
The love affair with a non-winning team.
Exactly. Like, you know, the 2011 Patriots. You know, I don't long for the days of Wes Welker. Like, he was a great player when he was here, but I remember him for a drop. I remember, you know, it's just a very different, it's like, I always say it, but it's like Mattingly and the Yankees. One of the rare, like Logan Mankins, right? He's the Patriots Mattingly. He was here for how long? He was drafted in 05 and he left in what, 13? And so he literally was there for all the years they didn't win.
Yeah.
Even though if you ask Dante Scarnecchia, he's the most talented offensive lineman he's ever coached.
Well, what about in 10 years, will they do the same with the 86 Red Sox? Despite them never winning it, like, will Clemens come back with Wade Boggs and
there's just a different, you know, like I people are more excited to see Derek Lowe and the guy that closed out all the games of the 04 World Series.
Oh, Don Baylor died. R.I.P. Don Baylor.
Oh well, it's okay.
Sorry, Don.
He was a hitting coach, but the people that were there yesterday seemed to like it. So if you like it, it's who the hell am I to say not to do it? It's just Wiggy saying that they were going to do that with the 07 team. It's just laughable. They would never.
Real quick on Ovechkin. So, over to hockey, where the Bruins, I heard Zach mention in the trending, this is possibly historic if the Bruins lose tonight. Meantime, you got Ovechkin going for Gretzky's record. He ties it last night. Are you impressed that he's avoiding the empty net goal? Like, he refused to go on the ice with a chance to break the record. With Wayne in the house, he wants a goalie to be in the net when he gets 895 or whatever is the winner. Is that like trying too hard to be above the fray, or do you actually give him legit praise for that?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think I would do
that. He doesn't want to stray-hand it. So
good comparison.
And so I think that that's, you know, I just am, I have a really good memory and it's great most times, but it really impedes my ability to talk about things about getting angry at frauds. And the way in which our country reacted to Ovechkin, who today on April 5th, 2025, click on Ovechkin's Instagram and he's with Vladimir Putin. We had conversations, Ken. I believe you may have even said, ban him.
No, don't misquote me again.
That he had Putin's black card and all these things. And yet all those same people this morning are genuflecting in his direction. Oh, did you see him bow in front of the great one? Oh, wow. It's like, I'm sorry. You people are just such frauds. Either it's an awful thing to do or it's not. You can't all of a sudden forget about it when you want to praise the guy for tying Gretzky. It's just, I mean, those were shows. You admit it. It was a national conversation.
What, that he refused to renounce
Putin? Ban Ovechkin because of his close relationship with Vladimir Putin. He was part of these campaigns. Listen, I hate Vladimir Putin. He's a horrible human being. But it doesn't, you can't sit here and say you have to denounce your relationship with the guy when you still have the same photo as your Instagram avatar and you're now being praised left and right.
On the way.
The fact is those people never really gave a damn. They just wanted to have someone to criticize so that they could get some sort of woke points in the media that they were covering.
I think it made people uncomfortable.
It certainly has today. I mean, they seem very uncomfortable praising them left and right, the very same people.
By the way, Putin still has the goal record. I think he scored 950.
No, Kim Jong-un just passed.
On the way, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter had their pro day yesterday. It was the... We're not hard to find pro day or something, whatever Dion called it. Does it impact the Pats' fourth pick? I'll give you some sourcing on that on the way in, Ken and Curtis.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Ken and Curtis Show at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio. We're back, Curtis. Opened up, refreshed, ready to go after the home opener yesterday.
Love it.
Not sure about today's game. Could be an easy doubleheader tomorrow, right?
What'd you have? Beef Wellington at View Boston? What was on the menu?
At View Boston, I just got past apps. But honestly, I had eaten so much during the day here. It was like I felt disgusting. Bloated, disgusting. And it was just trying to grind through the rest of the night.
Nice thing to say about other people.
There was good food there. God, Greg put on a hell of a bash. Congrats to Greg, by the way. 15 years with his foundation. $31 million raised. Amazing stuff. And to see some of the beneficiaries there. One of the marathon bombing survivors who had had 46 surgeries on her leg was there. You know, Greg helped them out, obviously, the first responders right away during that time at WAAF. And it really is an incredible thing he and the team there have done. So glad that we're a part
Ashley.
Of it in a smart way. Yeah, Ashley, he honored Ashley last night, which is well-deserved.
She is unbelievable.
Ashley Hansen, right, she's going to be on the roadshow this year. And she got Sensei to do a little graphic for her to accompany the... what would you call this? The support staff of the roadshow. So we all have our little Sensei graphic.
Yeah,
well, roadshow schedule is out. She's going to be there. A lot of hats this year. She's going to have more hats in store. Those are popular.
Yeah. The single most selfless and nice person I met since I met Greg, other than Greg, obviously. But yeah. Ashley's spectacular.
And Aaron, who was Greg's co-founder of the foundation, gave a very moving talk. And praise Greg as he deserves, but she did an awesome job with that and really set the tone for a great night. A lot of money raised again last night for Greg, so... going to the best of causes and through the red tape, which is what the foundation does, the best of any foundation I'm aware of.
Yep.
You know, just
unbelievable.
Gets money out quick. All right, Kenny Curtis here until noon, and then we'll be followed by Mego and Shime. Shime, I'm sure, could break down this pro day for the Colorado guys better than I can. He was geeking out either to this or Pokemon yesterday. But it sounds like Shedeur Sanders had a pretty good showing yesterday. He worked out. There was some question whether he would do that at all, Curtis. We don't have to go through like all the numbers or whatever.
Are you with me, 1 and 2 quarterback?
I think so, and I think this solidifies it. And so one of the things, Deion Sanders was spotted speaking with the Browns owner, Jimmy Haslam, yesterday, and he came away from that and said publicly, I spoke to the owner, he was delightful, it was charming, it was engaging, he's a good guy, I like him. I think one of those guys, talking about both his guys, is going to be there, and I think it's going to be Sanders. So that helps you with Travis Hunter falling, right? Past the Giants to the fourth pick, potentially.
So why would the Giants, why wouldn't they take Hunter? Because they have Thibodeau. They have a pretty good defensive line. They already have Malik Nabers, obviously. But if I'm the Giants, I would use that third pick on Hunter, and then the Patriots would get Carter at four.
They could. So I guess if they go that way, then you're stuck, quote-unquote, with Carter, which I still think is a good option.
Oh, I think even though would prefer it.
There is some concern about the foot, the injury, right? That maybe that's lasting.
I mean, they just gave all that money to Steph Diggs, and he had just had surgery recently, so I don't.
But what's going to help you out, if you're Vrabel, is the Shedeur Sanders, Deion Sanders hype. I think that's going to build over this month. Yesterday helped it in a big way. And a team that needs a quarterback is going to get sucked in by the charisma and the pizzazz of that pick.
As long as your name is an Aaron Rodgers or Brady Quinn, quarterbacks go one direction this time of year, and it's up. And that's what's going to happen. It's going to be Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, and then it's going to be who do the Giants want, the corner/receiver or the potential all-time, you know, outside rusher.
If it ends up being Hunter that comes to New England, he has said, and said again publicly yesterday, that he'll play basically either side of the ball, whatever team wants him, and wherever they play. Do you think that would change?
Yes, as soon as he's drafted.
So he's drafted, he says, I demand to be a receiver.
Well, once he signs, yes.
But the money's kind of the same, right? What's the average salary of
a quarterback? I'm saying that he has a preference, and once he gets the leverage and the team has signed him, he will assert that.
I believe Vrabel would play them both, though. He has said that, and that's back to Vrabel's. That's in his DNA, to be a two sides of the ball guy.
He was one side of the ball, and then he was on the other side in the goal line. No, but that he's not going to be.
Oh, that's fine. Put Travis Hunter on the goal line then.
Right. I mean, I love it. I think they should put their punter in the secondary as well.
Because don't you agree with me? Like, if they end up taking Will Campbell at four, that is the sad trombone.
That is a poop sandwich.
God, is that a disastrous draft?
Oh, and you could have had Laremy Tunsil for a third round pick.
That's
you could have had Joe Tooney for nothing.
That's the nightmare scenario that takes the wind out of the balloon that has been, I don't know, you feel like it's generally Patriots vibes have been good, right?
Yes.
Even though Kraft talked, and you get mad every time Kraft talks these days.
Right.
But he's, you know, expecting playoffs again. He spent money, you would agree. He wrote the check.
Yeah, great.
He signed a lot of players. He spent the most money in the NFL this offseason.
Remain compliant in the NFL. What's their cap space right now, though? I mean,
I don't know.
He says they paid the cap.
Who cares?
He says it. Oh. Not me.
I'm surprised you're checking it.
Because I want to see. I want to hold them accountable here. Cap calculator, overthecap.com. God, these pop-ups.
But I love the fact that you have two quarterbacks now.
The Patriots have $20 million more in cap space than any team in the NFL. Number one by a wide margin. $67 million.
Do you think they have another receiver in the hopper?
Do you think they're going to spend $67 million of fake money between now and opening day?
No.
So then why don't they pay to the cap?
But they could spend 20 more.
No, that's not to the cap. So Robert Kraft's the one who said that, not me.
Okay, I didn't say that, and you're getting upset again.
No, well, I'm just you said he spent a lot of money. Well, not to his standard.
Okay, but generally speaking, he's done a good job this offseason.
Great.
Maybe he can't get all the way to the cap this year.
He hasn't done a good job because Elliott Wolf's still here. He's probably his narc.
And they allowed Milton to get traded, which is a disaster.
Well, you just said it was the worst trade in NFL history.
It could be. Worse than Patriots history, that's for sure. Yeah, and okay, so now you're making me depressed about the season. I'm just trying to build this up. The draft...
I think it's been a good offseason. I think Mike Vrabel has asserted himself. I think they've made the team better. The Diggs signing was big for me. The defense, you know, should be much better.
Did you feel good seeing McDaniels talk this week?
Not really.
Really?
I mean, fine. I just... All these people...
Just put a picture of him next to Van Pelt, though. Remember what last year was.
Right. Basically, everybody that was around the Patriots for the last 20 years stands on Tom Brady's shoulders and acts like they can dunk on their own.
Do you think Brady would come back now that McDaniels is here?
No. I heard they didn't get along. Remember Fourier said that.
Really?
Yeah. There was an odd exit. I mean, Josh McDaniels literally owes his life. I mean, him and Weiss could probably buy, you know, the Red Sox with the amount of money they've been paid.
Hey, McDaniels made Mac a winner.
Yeah, sure did. 10-8.
Best he ever looked.
He was amazing.
You and I picked him to beat the Bills.
Sure did. Never been wronger in my life, other than calling you a friend.
All right, so, but to get to my point.
Right.
Things are looking up.
While we're young.
And Shedeur Sanders looking decent, at least pretty decent yesterday at the Pro Day, is good news for the Patriots. Yeah. You're going to have a pick of Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter at four.
Well, one or the other, right. You're not going to be able to pick one.
Right. But one or the other will fall to you at four. And that's the obvious play, and Vrabel will make the obvious pick, right? He's not going to be funny and trade down and try to do something creative.
They're going to use the fourth pick. They're not going to trade back.
Now, here's the other nightmare thing. If that doesn't happen, and Carter goes one or whatever happens, something funny happens and quarterbacks don't go one or two, would they be aggressive enough to trade up to three?
No. They're not going to trade any capital. The only way they're going to trade draft capital is to add, not subtract.
Well, if they're stuck with Will Campbell at four, they should trade up. That they had better be aggressive if things don't go right one and two, and make sure they're not stuck with Will Campbell at four. That's a mess.
Yeah, that is not good at all. I mean, but I don't think that'll be the case. I really don't. I think that they're going to end up with either Hunter or, what about Armon Membu? Would you be a fan of him?
I'm not a fan of either.
He's a right tackle.
At like 15, fine.
Well, that's what one mocker has the Patriots there. Cam Ward 1, Carter 2, Hunter 3, and Membu.
I thought it was rude that you took Shime's mock draft, put your chewing gum in it, and then ripped it up and threw it in the trash at the building on your way out on Friday.
I love Shime, but like I can make a mock. I've read 500 mocks. You just sort of throw it against the wall.
He had a trade in there. He was like creative.
Wow, a trade in a mock draft. I've never seen that in my life.
All right, well, he's on at noon.
I love it.
And he can get into the nitty-gritty, but I feel good about what happened yesterday. Join us, 617-779-7937. Kenny Curtis Show here for another hour at the Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studio at Fenway Park. And we may have baseball today. If not, you get two tomorrow.